Africa.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and cheer for the UEFA Champions League final. European club football's most coveted trophy will be at stake Saturday evening at the San Siro Stadium in Milan, Italy. Thousands of Spanish fans are streaming into Milan to show their support for their local Madrid clubs. Real Madrid will meet Atletico Madrid in a rematch of the 2014 final in Lisbon, where Real defeated Atletico 4-1 in extra time. But it's not just Spanish fans who are making the trip to Milan. Darjan Mirko traveled from Slovenia to see Saturday's big game.
I think that Real Madrid, my team, my favorite team, gonna win. I think 2-1, two goals from Cristiano and Bale. And I know that the players, they are fit for this game.
Meanwhile, Younes Ouabi is a Moroccan fan who traveled from Paris to Milan with a group of soccer-playing friends.
Okay, I think that it was a great match. We are fans from Real, and our goalie is from Atletico Madrid, so it is, for us, it's not important who wins, just that we are a great match.
Looking ahead to Saturday's match, Atletico Madrid's 32-year-old Spanish striker Fernando Torres says it's by far the biggest game of his career.
To me, it means everything. Everything you dream when you're a kid. I have the chance tomorrow to make this dream come true. So I've been able to play for great teams and, of course, for the Spanish national team and won many things, but this one is special. It's different. It's just what I wanted when I was a kid, maybe more than I dream. So I had the chance to come back to the club. The club, Simeone, they gave me the chance to come back and fight for what I really wanted. And it's been hard to be in the situation I'm now. I fight too much to have a place in the team, and I fight a lot to score goals again and be an important player for the team. So tomorrow is the game of my life, without doubt.
Fernando Torres talks about fighting a lot to score goals. In the 2014 UEFA Champions League final, Real Madrid knocked in 3 goals in extra time to win a record-extending 10th European title. One of those goals came from Gareth Bale, who knows it will be a tough challenge to overcome Atletico's stingy defense on Saturday.
I think, like any other game against Atletico, we know it's going to be a difficult game. They're going to defend very well, but we have to be patient. And, hopefully we can break them down and score goals.
From Milan, let's go to Manchester, England, where Jose Mourinho has been formally introduced as the new head coach of Manchester United Football Club. The veteran Portuguese manager signed a 3-year contract with the Red Devils of Man U with an option to stay on until at least 2020. Mourinho takes over from the Dutchman Louis van Gaal, who got the boot earlier this week, 2 days after leading Manchester United to the FA Cup trophy. The FA Cup was the only silverware Man U has won in the past 3 years. Disappointing years, for sure, for many fans of the proud English club. In an interview courtesy of Manchester United Television, Mourinho said he's excited about taking charge of Man U.
I feel great. I think it comes in the right moment of my career because Man United is one of these clubs where you need really to be prepared for it because it's what I used to call a giant club. And giant clubs must be for the best managers, and I think I'm ready for it. So I could say I'm happy, I'm proud, I'm honored, I'm everything, but the reality is that what I love is to work, and I cannot wait for 7th of July to go on the pitch.
You've won trophies everywhere. What are your ambitions for Manchester United?
I think we can look at our club now in two perspectives. One perspective is the past 3 years. And another perspective is the club history. I think I prefer to forget the past 3 years. I prefer to focus on the giant club I have in my hands now. And I think what the fans are expecting me to say is that I want to win. And more than that, I need the supporters and the players to feel that I say that, but I think we can really. Is not just to say by say. So yes, I want to focus on the history of this giant club and give what I have and what I don't have. So I will give absolutely everything to try to go in the direction we all want.
You seem to have had a good rapport with Manchester United fans when you've come back with Inter Milan, with Real Madrid, with Chelsea, with the charity game. What's your message to United fans who'll be watching this eagerly now?
I know what they can give me. They know what I can give them. Obviously, the most important thing are the players and the relation the players establish with them. But I think is very important and curious that I played so many times against Man United and I played so many times at Old Trafford with other clubs and was empathy, no problems. And in fact, I was pushed by that feeling to say sometimes things that my clubs were not happy with. I remember, for example, when I won at Old Trafford with Real Madrid. I told that the best team lost, and not many people was happy at Real Madrid.
That's Jose Mourinho, the new manager of Manchester United Football Club, and he was speaking Friday in Manchester, England. And the Sunny Side of Sports thanks Manchester United Television for that interview.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Boxing news now on the Voice of America. I've been talking with Namdi Hollywood Moueta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, about some of the latest developments in the fight game. Namdi says a proposed bout between Floyd Mayweather and Irish mixed martial artist Conor McGregor is ultimately about one thing.
Why do we call him Money Mayweather, Sonny? He knows where the money is, you know. Conor McGregor is a trash talker like Floyd Mayweather. He's a big draw. I mean, these guys, when they do pay-per-view with their Ultimate Fighting Championship, they draw big. And all the other things that will go into it, but your boxing purists, they hate this fight because we in the game just look at Ultimate Fighting Champion, mixed martial art, like cockfighting, really. It's not boxing, you know. So people will want to see. People want to, okay, this is number 50. He's breaking the record and all this hoopla. And McGregor will talk up the fight. come fight time, everybody will run in there. Though before the fight, so we're not going to watch you. We don't like it. We don't want to see it. But you'll be drawn out of your house and you go pay your $110, $120 and put it on pay-per-view. At the end of it all, Money Mayweather will laugh all the way to the bank again.
Namdi, you've been in the fight game for more than 30 years. Has there been precedent for this type of match where a boxer goes up against a mixed martial artist?
Oh, come on, Sonny. Remember when Antonio Inoki from Japan, when he fought Muhammad Ali? You remember how ugly that was? You know? So this is nothing new. Mayweather is not the first person to do it, but he's doing it at a time whereby we have pay-per-view numbers, we have all the other media, money streams coming in. The time we're in right now, he brings in more money than 10, 20 years ago. And, you know, Mayweather has this undefeated record, he's untouchable, nobody can beat him. So we want to see, well, maybe this guy with a mixed martial arts background can beat him up and blood him and knock him out. At the end of it all, Mayweather will walk away a champion again.
Namdi, you talk about pay-per-view numbers. Let's look back at Canelo Alvarez's big knockout victory over Amir Khan. What were the final pay-per-view numbers for that fight?
The final pay-per-view numbers came in, Sonny, and it looked really, really good. And when we say Canelo is a big draw, we mean it, really. 665,000 pay-per-view buys, you know, times that plus $75 each, and then you bring in your closed circuit, you bring foreign TV rights, you bring in cinema theaters, and then your live gate, you're looking at close to $80 million.
Namdi, where do we stand now with the possibility of Canelo taking on Triple G?
You know, the fight fans believe that Canelo is scared of Triple G. Canelo is not scared of Triple G. Right now, Canelo and Oscar De La Hoya and his company, Golden Boys, they're in court for stealing Canelo away from Tuto Zabala, or the all-star boxing promoter in Miami. So this is going to drag on for a little bit till end of June. And as we speak, the title is no longer with Canelo. So is Canelo scared of Triple G? We don't know until the fight is signed.
Namdi, how about an update on your Niger boy, Anthony Joshua? What's going on with him?
Countdown to a big fight, June 25th, O2 Arena in London. Expect somebody to be knocked out cold. It's going to be explosive, Sonny, because Brazil is from LA here. I've watched him all these years, and he can fight. He will stand.
The confidence I bring to the ring, I've been there, done that. Yeah, he's, you know, he is a title holder, but I don't think he's fighting the guys in the caliber of my resume. I'm fighting some guys that, you know, have fought in world title fights before. You know, some guys that have been down on the canvas and got their butts back up to finish the fight. Some guys that have knocked me down, and I've knocked them down in doing so. I think that's the biggest thing that Anthony Joshua's going to have to get by. Is that, like I told him, we exchange words in the yard, and we exchange when we're here on the platform. I told him, when I put you down on the canvas, you better be sure and get back up. Don't quit on me, because I plan on putting you down again.
One thing I heard Brazil say, Namdi, is he'll have a little more movement than the last guy Joshua knocked out. What are your thoughts, that maybe some movement could cause some problems for Anthony Joshua?
How can you move when a couple of body hooks take your legs out? You can't move. You have no choice but to stand and fight. And when you stand and fight, then the bomb will be dropped in you, and then you'll be counted out cold.
All right, thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mueta, speaking with us once again from Los Angeles, California. In professional baseball, a 19-year-old outfielder in the Milwaukee Brewers organization is trying to make history. Demi Ormoloye is bidding to become the first African-born player to make it to the major leagues. Last year was Demi's first as a professional baseball player, and he had a very respectable .292 batting average in the minor leagues. VOA sports reporter Ben Cento reached Demi in the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona, and asked him, how do you feel in your quest to make it to the major leagues?
It's exciting. Makes me want to work harder to get there as soon as possible and to maybe open a door for young African-American kids, they see me in the major leagues, they'll say, maybe I want to play baseball.
What advice do you have for kids coming up, whether it's in Africa or around the world? What advice would you give to those who want to make it to the top level of baseball?
That it's just really fun, really exciting. Baseball is one of the funnest sports to play. I love it. That's why I chose it. And I'll just say to all the kids that want to play, just it's a great decision.
How's your season going so far in Arizona?
Right now I'm just in extended spring training, just working on stuff, getting at-bats, and leave to Helena, Montana to start the season in the beginning of June. So I'm excited for that.
Demi, you were born in Nigeria. Do you feel any ties towards Africa's most populous country or Africa in general?
I still have some family there. My parents talk to them every now and then. But I went back when I was 6 or 7. I've been back since. But, yeah, I definitely have families there still.
Now, you're 6'4" tall, well over 200 pounds. One of your coaches described you as someone who looks like an American-style football player. How does your size contribute to your game?
In many ways. Maybe when I'm hitting, I got a lot of power. People don't expect me to be as fast as I am, so, like, I have speed. I don't know, just all around, I think it's an advantage.
Do you notice it hindering your performance in any way?
Not really. The role they put me in, playing right field or center field or hitting the lineup or stealing bases, nothing ever affects it, only positives.
Could you settle this debate for us? Is it Washington, D.C.'s own National League MVP Bryce Harper or former American League MVP Mike Trout from Los Angeles? Who would you take?
Wow. Mike Trout.
Oh, man, that's the wrong answer there, Demi. All right, Demi, thank you for joining us today on the Sunny Side of Sports.
No problem.
That's Demi Ormoloye. Born in Nigeria, Demi is a professional baseball player in the Milwaukee Brewers organization, and Demi was talking with VOA sports reporter Ben Cento from Phoenix, Arizona. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, Andrew. And what's trending in the sports world on this happy Friday?
Well, unhappy news for a big tennis player, Rafael Nadal, announcing that he's pulling out of the French Open
due to a
left wrist injury. Of course, he's famous for, you know, being an amazing tennis player, but being a left-handed tennis player. So the left wrist injury is really troublesome for him. So he's withdrawn from the tournament that he's won 9 times. And really, it's a blow to the tournament because a lot of people were wondering, is this going to be the year where he wins the 10th French Open? In the past couple years, he's had some issues, health problems. Last year, I think he only made it to maybe the quarterfinals before he lost. So his health was improving, people saying, okay, maybe this is the year he can make his comeback and get that 10th French Open title. Well, it's not to be, unfortunately.
Many call Rafa the greatest clay court player in history. What are your thoughts, Andrew?
The king of clay. I think it's, you know, indisputed, the fact that he has 9 French Open titles. He did say in this press conference that while he is leaving the French Open, this is not the end for him. He hopes to return next year healthy. But this story really kind of broke on social media. I started to see some tweets from some tennis writers where they were saying, I think Andy Murray was wrapping up his press conference, and they said, Nadal just announced emergency press conference. We're not sure what's going on. Probably not something good. And then sure enough, a few minutes later, he comes into the press room. He's got that left wrist wrapped up in a brace, and he says, unfortunately, I have to withdraw from the tournament.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Andrew, what else is trending?
Well, in addition to hearing about this Rafa press conference, we're also seeing now some tributes starting to pour in on Instagram. The Roland Garros account, they just put a black and white picture of Rafa. They said, Rafa will miss you. And that's getting a lot of comments there. But there's also a little debate back and forth on social media. Someone tweeted out and said, well, if Novak Djokovic wins the French Open, gets the career Grand Slam, we have to put an asterisk next to that because Federer didn't participate in the tournament.
He good point.
Didn't start the tournament because of an injury. Nadal had to withdraw because of an injury. So they're saying, well, the path is kind of cleared for Djokovic to go through with it. But there's a debate back and forth. Other people are saying, well, he's beaten Federer and Nadal consistently the past times they played. So maybe not necessarily an asterisk. And he's still got to get through Andy Murray, who, by the way, Andy Murray, after the first two rounds where he took both of his matches to five sets, he had an easy win today, win a three-setter. But after that second round match, another five-set match, he, on Instagram, put up a little picture. It was a get-out-of-jail-free card from Monopoly. And he put a little, you know, those smiley face emojis with the upturned eyes kind of saying, I just barely made it. So it was his little joke on social media. But Andy Murray's one of those players that has been a lot of talk about his kind of mental game if he psychs himself out. So it might be a sign that he's kind of having some fun, maybe a little loose mentally in terms of being more relaxed, that he can make a little joke like that on social media.
Andrew, you were talking about tennis asterisks, and it reminded me of Roger Federer. The one time that he won the French Open, he also had a little help. I think Nadal got hurt in one of his early round matches,
and he went out early,
and that kind of smoothed the way for Federer.
I don't even think Nadal made it to the finals. I mean, if he had, he probably would have beaten Federer as he has many times before at the French Open. But it's, you know, one of those things that always gets debated in any sport, whether it's baseball, and they've changed the rules over the years. They're talking about in future seasons changing the strike zone rules and some things like that, or even basketball changing, you know, the distance that players have to shoot from, or the timing with the clocks. And so it's always debated in sports. How do you compare these records over time? How do you compare in these different scenarios? And it's something that is hotly debated on social media and will continue to be debated probably until the end of time, because it is something that really doesn't have a right or wrong answer, I don't think.
Andrew, you mentioned basketball. Quick update on the NBA playoffs for our Voice of America listeners. The Golden State Warriors, the defending NBA champions, they stayed alive Thursday night. Must-win situation. They beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 120-111. Steph Curry, the NBA's two-time most valuable player, had 31 points. So Golden State now trails in that series 3-2. Game 6 will be Saturday night in Oklahoma City. The Thunder looking to advance, and Golden State facing another must-win situation. And in the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 6 will be later Friday night in Toronto, Canada. The Toronto Raptors will host the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland leads that series 3-2. With a victory tonight in Toronto, LeBron James and the Cavs will advance to their second consecutive NBA Finals. And again, those asterisks, we keep talking about asterisks, Andrew. LeBron James, no asterisk needed. If they make it to the NBA Finals this time around, it'll be the sixth year in a row that LeBron has made it. Very impressive record there to
absolutely
the finals.
Yeah. Well, the social media is saying, as the teams have played in the East, they've done very well at home and very poorly on the road. Of course, you mentioned they played a night in Toronto. So there's a lot of question if Cleveland can close it out on the road, or if it's going to go to from six games to seven games, the full 7-game series. And the same thing in the West, people saying, all of you who counted out Golden State, well, guess what? This is still the team that has Steph Curry, still the team that won 73 games and set the record this year. They still got some fight in them. So there's a lot of back and forth between the fans on social media about those series, and we'll see what comes out of it. But I don't think anyone could have predicted a potentially Toronto versus Oklahoma City final for the NBA. I think a lot of people could have said, yeah, I'll see Cleveland, they're leading the East. I see Golden State, of course, they, you know, set the record, but we will see.
Any other sporty trends out there in social media, Andrew?
Yeah, some Olympic news that the International Olympic Committee has said that 23 athletes have tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs on retests from the 2012 London Olympics. Now, I guess they keep their samples for a number of years, and there was a question about whether they were doping or not, and they went back and tested a bunch of athletes and said that 23 of them had tested positive. No word on who exactly those athletes are and what the ramifications will be, but there's a lot of talk on social media, people saying, well, we need to go back and maybe readjust those medal counts for 2012 and look at who won and who these people were that were doping. And we also need to look at 2016. Even if these people aren't competing, maybe we need to look at the countries that they competed for, see if there's any systemic doping allegations. There have been some allegations in Russia, for example, people saying, well, maybe they should be curtailed in their participation in Rio or even banned from participating in Rio. So we'll see how that develops in the coming days and weeks.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, and have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend too, Andrew. And that wraps up the May 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mark Ferguson. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a great weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The people of the Lake Chad Basin have much to look forward to, said Deputy Secretary of State Antony Blinken during his recent visit to Nigeria. Their energy, their ingenuity, reflected in young people across the region, points the way towards a future for the Lake Chad Basin defined by growth, by opportunity, by dignity. Nonetheless, they must first rid themselves of a great dangerous storm clouding that bright future. The fight against Boko Haram is a fight for this future, one that unlocks the potential of all people, the prosperity of nations, and peace for the entire region, said Deputy Secretary of State Blinken. Over the last year or so, the Lake Chad Basin countries have made considerable progress in degrading Boko Haram, and we commend all of them, Nigeria, Niger, Chad, Cameroon, and Benin, for standing up the multinational joint task force tasked with ending the Boko Haram insurgency. The United States is deeply committed to supporting this fight and will continue to provide to the task force advisors, training, and necessary resources. But victory on the battlefield is not enough to ensure the lasting defeat of Boko Haram. For that, Boko Haram's ideology must be nullified through government provision of civilian security and civil administration. Human rights abuses must be investigated and abusers held to account. Civilian-military relations must improve. And finally, communities suffering under Boko Haram's heavy fist must be liberated and stabilized, the people provided with humanitarian assistance, basic services, and economic opportunity. If we fail to adopt and pursue this comprehensive approach, we may well defeat Boko Haram on the battlefield, only to be confronted by Boko Haram 2.0 that rises from its ashes, said Deputy Secretary Blinken. As we look ahead to the future, Deputy Secretary Blinken said, the hard challenges of this moment are matched by the promise and potential of this region. We are confident that the Lake Chad Basin countries, with support from the United States, France, the United Kingdom, the European Union, and other international partners, will win this fight and set this region on a course to realize a better future. Let us now turn our unity of vision into sustained unity of action.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
With your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one, I, yeah, yeah. This one, I, yeah, yeah.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.